It's Detroit Today on 101.9 WDET. I'm Nick Austin, filling in for Stephen Henderson, discussing healthcare and health and disparate impacts that it can have on our communities here. And one of the reasons perhaps is doctors not making house calls anymore. That's something that we hear a lot. But right now here in Detroit, it's only kind of true. For a number of years now, a Wayne State University mobile health unit has been going around the city of Detroit serving residents. And while they don't go to people's homes, they do go to service residents at churches, recreational centers, and libraries. To talk more about what this mobile health unit is, what it does, and what are the kinds of common health issues afflicting Detroiters, we have Dr. Phil Levy with us. He is Wayne State University's Health Chief Innovation Officer and also a leader with the university's mobile health unit. Dr. Levy, welcome to Detroit Today.
Great to be here, Nick. Thanks for having me.
All right. Well, for those who aren't familiar with a mobile health unit, including me, what does it do and when did it get started?
So the story begins prior to the pandemic. I'm an emergency physician. I've worked at Detroit Receiving Hospital for almost 20 years. And as an ER doc working in Detroit, what we often see is not so much the acute problems that everyone thinks of ER from the television show. We see a lot of the ills that come from poorly managed chronic conditions like hypertension, diabetes, asthma, what have you. And what we realized prior to the pandemic that if we waited in the ER for people to show up, it was too late.
Yeah.
How could we get out into the community? So you hear all the time about community outreach efforts, blood pressure screening events, and these types of things. But we really wanted to come up with a better way to deliver substantive care in communities. And then COVID hit.
Yeah.
And prior to COVID, we had been working on a mapping program, a geospatial analysis, trying to understand where risk was greatest in communities, something called Phoenix, the Population Health Outcome Information Exchange. When COVID hit, we layered on COVID data, and we started to realize, as many did in the state, that brown and black communities across the region were suffering disproportionately from the pandemic. Why was that? I think your last speaker, Kat Stafford, did a wonderful job outlining some of the issues. But the real question is action. How do we get there?
Right.
We're the Motor City. We reached out to the Ford Motor Company, and they gladly came to the table with a couple Ford Transit vans and loaned them to us so we could take the mapping effort to bring COVID-related resources into the areas hardest hit. And that became mobile care, where we started. And the idea was, can we go to communities that we know have social vulnerability? A lot of older individuals, advanced age communities, those two factors early on were recognized as very strong contributors to outcomes in COVID. Could we go into those communities and test people so that we could find individuals with COVID, separate them from those who didn't have COVID, and then hopefully not, you know, or limit the spread of the pandemic? We started doing that initially with mobile care, but realized, hey, we're going to be there. Why don't we ask about social determinants? Why don't we think about these other factors? And that's what mobile care became. It became a pandemic response that moved to portable population health, bringing services into the neighborhoods for people who need it most.
Very good. So then you talked about you got the loans from the different from Ford. And how many different units do you have now, and where are you guys going to?
Yeah, this is, it's a great story. Again, it's a Motor City story, right? Ford loaned us four vehicles, but as part of the state's Racial Disparities Task Force, if you recall and your listeners recall, Michigan was the first and one of the only states that really took to heart trying to understand why brown and black communities were so disproportionately impacted. So they created a Racial Disparities Task Force. Our work initially was supported by philanthropy, other funding resources, but when the state started putting, you know, a lot of emphasis on this, we were able to get five vehicles from the state. We had another two vehicles that were donated by Steven Soderbergh when he was in town shooting his movie No Sudden Move a couple of years ago, and another one donated by Ford. So at this point, we have eight vehicles and a staff of almost 80 people that go out and send these vehicles in different areas of the community.
Well, you mentioned how kind of coming out of COVID that you've converted to checking into different things now. What are some of the health issues, the things that you're screening for that most come up that people might not even realize that you guys are helping out with in the community?
So first and foremost, the single most impactful health condition on the community in Detroit is high blood pressure, far and away. Detroiters are almost 2.5 times more likely to die of heart disease than other, you know, large metropolitan communities, individuals in large metropolitan communities in the country. And all of that traces back to high blood pressure, some of it to diabetes, some of it to high cholesterol, some of it to smoking cigarettes. Detroit actually has one of the highest smoking rates in the country, at almost a third of the population self-reporting smoking. So what we do when we go into communities is we measure people's blood pressure sitting in the front seat of their car. They can step out into our tents where they can get blood pressure measured. But we also draw blood and we look for high cholesterol. We look for kidney disease. We look for early signs of diabetes. In addition to that, we do social determinant screening, a standardized approach with community health workers, because we recognize, as I think many listeners do, that these social factors are so contributory to both the development of these conditions like high blood pressure and diabetes, but also the ability to manage them effectively. And so by incorporating all of this together, we can identify medical risk and social needs and then deliver services to folks, linking them to care right on site.
Right. So when you go into these health units, it's more kind of like a screening and an ability to see, hey, is everything going okay here? Like you might do when you go to your primary care physician for a checkup, and not necessarily in a location where you're going to get care on the spot.
Correct. And that's an important distinction, right? When we think of medicine, there's prevention and treatment. And most of medicine focuses on treatment. People think of hospitals, going for your heart attack or your stroke, or even going into a clinic and getting these conditions, high blood pressure, diabetes, managed. But a big part of this is that many folks who are at risk for these conditions, may even have them, don't get screening early. And once they get screened, if they do, the linkage to the next level of care is really challenging.
Yeah.
It's easy to measure someone's blood pressure. It's hard to manage that blood pressure, both for the provider side of it and the patient side of it. And so what we try to do is bring things on patients' terms. Come into neighborhoods, come into communities where people reside and say, we're taking away access as a barrier and bringing it to you. Where we really want to go down the road, though, is to say, do we need the bricks and mortar? Do we need people who we just engage in the community to now be inconvenienced by going to a doctor's office when we can possibly do all of this right there? If all you have is high blood pressure, we're able to give you medications in your neighborhood. We can work with pharmacists who can understand what your needs are and help manage those conditions right there.
Well, see, that's one of the things that I think is really important here, because I do believe for a lot of folks in the community, especially if you don't know if you have access to health units or if you've got different things that make you a little bit skittish of going to see a medical professional, getting a diagnosis, some people just want to avoid it, right? They don't want to know about the bad thing because they can't get any care anyway, right? So if they're coming to you, you're talking about, for example, giving someone access to resources for blood pressure. What types of things do you do for people that when they need to follow up to get something to help them out with this condition that they may suffer? What do you do to help them on that next phase?
So there's two components to this. One component, the typical pathway component, is we identify, hey, your blood pressure is high. We did this blood work. We saw your cholesterol was a little high. Maybe you're at risk for diabetes. We have our nurses on the back end call folks and let them know this information and to make appointments for them, whether they want to come back to providers that are part of the Wayne State ecosystem. Wayne Health is our physician practice group. Or if they want to go to another provider, we're happy to share this information with that provider and link them. But really the future for us is a vision where we can deliver all that care right in the neighborhoods. So there's something called collaborative practice agreements, which allow pharmacists to manage conditions. We see this with flu vaccines. You go to your pharmacist and they administer a flu vaccine. They're able to do that because there's a collaborative practice agreement between the pharmacist and the physician that says, yes, you can deliver this vaccine under my medical license and your license and everything's good. We can do that with high blood pressure in neighborhoods. And so we have a secondary pathway through some grant funding from the National Institute of Minority Health and Health Disparities to explore this model. In the future, could we bring mobile care into communities, screen people, and right there manage everything in the neighborhoods where they live without having them come back to a bricks and mortar clinic?
Yeah, that would probably help out a lot, right? One-stop shop where you can go in. Sometimes, especially folks, maybe you don't have access to transportation as easily. Maybe things are a little bit further for you. It can be difficult to get to these appointments. As we're speaking to Dr. Phil Levy, Wayne State University's Health Chief Innovation Officer, discussing the university's mobile health unit, which is a really interesting way of bringing access to some diagnosis, some medical care to people a little bit closer. But you talked about money. You talked about funding a little bit. I think we've been touching it a little bit. What about if you don't have insurance? That might be the first thing that makes you think, why do I even go here? I can't pay for the care afterwards.
Right. The funny thing in all of this is care for hypertension is not that expensive. These medications have been around for many years. They're generic and essentially free. If you were to go into Walmart or CVS, they run promos where you can get your hypertensive medications for next to nothing. The real cost of the care comes from when you come to the clinic. We have to have staff at the desk. We have to have nurses. We have to have doctors. And all of that's billable encounters. Right. Our vision going forward is forget the billable encounter. Let's make it all part of the process of just delivering care. So our motto, our ethos for the mobile unit has always been, you don't need insurance. You don't need an appointment. You don't even need identification, although obviously we'd like to know who you are when you come. We just want to be able to have you feel comfortable that you can get the screening services on your terms. Mm-hmm. And this speaks to something that's been talked a lot about in medicine, this idea of moving towards patient-centric care. We talk about it a lot, but it isn't really done in practice. What we have is clinician-centric or physician-centric care packaged that it's patient-centric. You come in, we may ask you more questions about you, right, but you're still on my terms. You're still coming to my location. Instead, we flip the script here and say, we're coming to you.
I think that's exactly right. That's what you see. It's about making the, sometimes when you go to a medical facility, not necessarily feeling like you're the priority or that anyone really cares about you. A lot of what's happening here is also building trust in the community in terms of medical, providing medical care. It sounds like that's what you're doing, but are there any other things that you're looking into to make sure that that trust, that connection is happening with the locations that you're trying to serve?
So trust is everything. So at this point now, since we started this program in April 2020, we've had almost 89,000 encounters in the community, which is unbelievable. What that shows is a couple of things. First and foremost, people are hungrier. They have an appetite for this type of care. They're willing to come. But the fact that we've been able to sustain it shows that we've built trust in the community, because we're not just coming on one day and we're never going to see you again. We go to community locations over and over again. So when people see the Wayne Health and Wayne State mobile unit in their neighborhood, they know we're not there to bill their insurance for services. We're there to bring them care. And we're there to do it in a way that's not going to cost them anything. We have philanthropy and a lot of grant funding that supports this. But going forward, we're working with the payers, the insurers, to maintain a program of sustainability with the general concept that we're not going to ever charge a patient anything. Mm. This is we say it's free, but it's not really free, because at the end right. of the day, someone pays, but it's no cost to the patient coming on site. And so we build trust through the community partners we work with, but we also build trust because when you come on site to a mobile unit, you're going to see folks who are from your community, they live in the community, they see the world and understand the world more similar to what the people coming out are trying to receive care, you know, for their conditions.
Right. Well, you've talked a little bit about some of the numbers that you're doing, and I do want to know about the metrics. How are you tracking the metrics? What are the results? Are you able to find out how this has occurred or how this has helped people of the community, not just anecdotally, but are you tracking this, and what have you found in your research?
Yeah, so a couple of things. First, we do screening blood pressures on everybody that comes through now. We weren't doing that from the very beginning. We do screening lab work. We find that almost 60% of people who come to our sites have elevated blood pressure or high blood pressure. These folks all need to get some form of treatment, whether it's diet modification and exercise recommendations. Recognizing that the people who come out may not have the resources to access those things easily. So understanding their social needs with community health workers assisting is an important piece. We also screen for, like I mentioned, high cholesterol. We find that about 50% or so of people who come through are at risk for high cholesterol, are at risk for kidney disease. About 10-12% of people who come through either have frank diabetes that they may not have known about, or they have elevated hemoglobin A1C, which is a risk marker of diabetes. Yeah. So we're seeing a lot of people at risk. And then we also track people and see, where do they go? What is happening with them at the next level? Some of that is our funded research through the NIMHD, but some of that is just where we're going with our clinical practice, and we're in the active process of auditing all that.
I want to loop a call in right now. Joe in Rochester Hills, go ahead. You're on Detroit Today.
Yeah. Hi, great subject. This is kind of off topic for this particular...
We'll make it work, Joe. Go ahead.
All right. I was curious as to what involvement the AMA has in the problem of coverage, and also, is there any anything in the industry to promote people of color to be doctors, to handle the disparity? Yeah. And just from your current talker, I was curious as to what telepresence he may have, or is that in the picture in the future?
Sure, thanks. Sure. That's a good question. I appreciate it, Joe. We've got a couple of questions here for you, Dr. Levy. One is if you have a telepresence with what you're doing in terms of the mobile health unit. Another one is what the American Medical Association is doing to help Black Americans, and specifically maybe even getting more Black medical professionals involved in the field.
So I'll take the first question, a telehealth component. An important thing to understand is that when we're doing screening and prevention-oriented work, the component that a doctor contributes may be relatively limited, in the sense that I'm not the one as a physician measuring the blood pressure. I might not even be the person who's engaging with you at the front end to discuss what the numbers look like. That could be medical assistant, it could be a nurse or what have you. And the point I'm trying to make here is that for prevention-oriented work, actually relying on a physician may be a barrier, not a benefit, because there's not as many physicians as there are nurses and community health workers, or, you know, at least community health workers are growing. But the point of this is that we don't need to do a telehealth visit when someone comes and we're measuring their blood pressure. That's transparent. If you're greater than 130 over 80, you have high blood pressure, and we need to do something about it. The other side of this is that once we draw the lab work, we won't get those results back for a day or two, but we have our nurse who's there and educated and knows what to do, and then we link up to that next level. And so what we're really trying to say is that by not having a clinician directly there on site, it's not a barrier, it's actually an advantage, so that we can do true team-based medicine, which is part of what the AMA is looking at and part of what other organizations are saying. We don't have enough Black doctors. We don't have enough Black nurses, or a lot of things in the healthcare system. But if you step back and say, what's the most effective way to deliver care? It's not going to be one patient and one provider. It's going to be one provider and a team of people reaching the masses. And that's the vision here. There's an adoption of this concept of population health, right? How do we deliver the most to the most?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And, you know, before I get out of here, I'm sure people are going to be wondering about how to get access, learn more about the mobile health unit, find out where you're going and what you guys are doing. So what would you tell them? Got about a minute left.
First and foremost, you can go to waynehealthcares.org, and we have a website where all of the activity, the mobile health unit, is published. There's a schedule on there that you can go to. You can sign up for some events ahead of time, but again, you don't need to sign up. You can just show up. We do 6 to 8 events a day, 6 days a week. We're all over the community. At this point, we've done over 3,500 events with more than 250 different community partners. And so it's very easy to come out to see us. So that's the most important thing. And then, you know, you can look at resources like WDET to hear more about our work and our published work.
I wildly recommend that last point, Dr. Levy. WDET is a place to go. Hey, it's great having you here. Thanks for joining us on Detroit Today.
Thanks again for having me, Nick.
That's going to do it for this edition of the program. And thank you so much for tuning in. Remember, if you enjoyed the conversations that we have here, let someone know about it. Share it with the public. You can go to WDET.org to check out the episodes and share the podcast as well on all your streaming platforms. This is 101.9 WDET FM, Detroit's NPR station, your connection to news, music, and conversation. We'll see you again tomorrow.